Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Trupanion, medical insurance for the life of your pet, is a proud sponsor of Pure Dog Talk. Trupanion invites you to sign up for their breeder support program. This program lets breeders provide their buyers with special offers to help protect their puppy in the event any unexpected accidents or illnesses happen to this puppy as they're transitioning into their new home. To date, Trupanion has paid over $1 million in claims to pets protected with this special offer. Sign up from our partner page today and start sending your own litters home protected. Don't forget to mention Pure Dog Talk sent you. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves, and I am pretty excited to share with you guys a conversation that took place recently at a Pure Dog Talk Saturday Symposium. This event was held with the Rogue Valley Kennel Club here in my hometown. Happens to be my club. But the topic is pretty interesting, and the question is, preserving our breeds, what can we do? And we had some pretty amazing panelists. We had Ed Thompson. Folks might remember the interview I did with him a couple years ago now, breeder of American Staffordshire Terriers. Michelle Santana, very successful, longtime AKC Breeder of the Year, breeder of Doberman Pinschers. And we also had Fran Stevens, who is a delegate and a St. Bernard breeder. And we were talking about the recent work that our friends Bill Shelton and Doug Johnson did with the delegate body that resulted in the creation of a breeder committee within the delegate body, which is very exciting. And just the things that we, as breeders, as exhibitors, as purebred dog fanciers, can do to save our breeds and, you know, in the long run, save our sport. So this is part one. We will have part two next week. All right, you guys, welcome. Most of you guys know me. I'm Laura Reeves, Pure Dog Talk for the recording. Everybody knows. We have the Pure Dog Talk Saturday Symposium here at the beautiful Indian Mary Park. We have special guests that won Best in Show. And their first Best in Show, so we're super excited about that. Thank you guys for coming. We are going to talk tonight, and I think this is a really great conversation. We are going to talk about preservation breeding and what we can do to preserve our breeds and why it's important and what needs to be done. Okay, and we have some excellent panelists here. Fran Stevens is a delegate from St. Bernard Club or from?
From Puyallup Valley Dog Fanciers.
From Puyallup Valley Dog Fanciers. Michelle Santana. Very noted Breeder of the Year, Doberman breeder, Mr. Ed Thompson, American Staffordshire Terriers. And we're going to talk about a couple things. There was recently at the delegates meeting that Fran was at, so this is one of the reasons I asked Fran to participate with us, Judges Bill Shelton and Doug Johnson did a really great presentation on this topic and talking about why it's important and what we can do. And there's a lot of topics to cover in this. We had several mentioned brought up to me earlier today about not just the breeding piece of it, but how do we bring people into the sport? Being nice to people and being nice to puppy buyers and those sorts of things. So I think this is a really, really interesting topic and one that we've got a lot of room to maneuver with. So thank you all, panelists. We're going to share this microphone, so just pass it along, okay?
Okay.
And do a brief little introduction of yourselves, and then I'll grab it from Ed and we'll go from there. Okay? Here you go.
Okay. I'm Fran Stevens. I live in Puyallup, Washington. As Laura said, I'm the AKC delegate from Puyallup Valley Dog Fanciers. I've also been show chair for Puyallup Valley for 12, 13 years. And I got my first St. Bernard in 1968. So I've been at this for a
the
long time.
The year I was born, man.
Oh, shush. Boy, how to really... Oh. Anyhow. My kennel name is Misty Hill, and people know that because it's what I use all the time. But I've bred a number of litters over the years. My first St. Bernard was an absolute pet that I bought from a Yellow Page ad like most of us, got our first St. Bernards, our first dogs of any kind. And that led me to obedience work because I didn't know what to do with this dog. And from there, I got into confirmation, and that was the end of the story. I've been at it ever since. I do all kinds of things with my dogs in addition to confirmation, but breeding is what I like best. I haven't bred tons of litters, but I've been pretty proud of what's in my backyard that's my breeding. So,
there you go, Michelle.
Michelle Santana. I breed under the Foxfire Donut. We had our first litter in 1982. We bought our foundation bitch in 1979. We bred over 200 champions. Lots of obedience, performance, and now dog diving. And
Valerie.
We're yes, Valerie Ross, thank you so much. I'm passionate about purebred dogs. I'm passionate about the promotion of purebred dogs. I think we need to be our own best advocates, and I think a lot of times we don't sell our story as we should. So we need to learn to sell our story.
Yep. Go ahead.
My name is Ed Thomason. I am one half of Alpine American Staffordshire Terriers. My wife and I have been breeding the breed for over 20 years. We have bred more best in show winning AMSAFs than anybody in the world. Over 60 champions and collectively around 70 best in shows. I also work as a professional handler, but I'm not. I tell people all the time, if you ask me to choose between being a professional handler and being a dog breeder, I'm a dog breeder. It's what my wife and I do. It's what we're passionate about. It's what we met in this sport. And it's the thing that we will leave behind is hopefully our legacy will be the dogs we bred. I, like Michelle said, am very passionate about the story we tell. I'm very passionate about promoting purebred dogs. I'm very passionate about promoting breeders. And I'm sure tonight we'll talk a little bit about that. But I think that we have fallen into being afraid to be proud that we're breeders. And we've fallen into a fact that we want to hide the fact that we breed dogs. And that's the very, very first thing we have to change. And collectively we can do that and talk about that tonight. So thanks, guys.
Awesome. Did I pick fabulous panelists or what, you guys? I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the things that I want to concentrate on is this concept that is being promoted right now. The delegate body just created a breeders committee. Is that correct, Fran?
That's correct.
This is brand new. Oddly enough, the American Kennel Club did not have a breeders committee. They had every other committee known to man, but they did not have a breeders committee. So this is a big deal. And this is something that I feel like we should support. We all want to bang on AKC when we're mad at them. Let's support them when they're doing something that we think is right. So number one. Number two, what can we do? When we talk about, I want to be proud to be a breeder and I want to make sure that we're telling our story and all of these things, what is it that we can do? What are steps that we can take? Manageable, actionable steps. Okay? So that's question number one. Go.
Start at the beginning, Freya.
Yeah, how did I end up in this seat?
You notice I took this?
Ed's been to a couple of these.
Yes. Yes. Well, I thought it was going to start at that end. Anyway, the first thing that we have to be able to do is when somebody starts talking about purebred dogs and what a waste they are, to stand up for our sport and what we do and what we love. Don't be afraid to say, I breed purebred dogs because I want to know what I'm breeding, what I'm going to get, and I want to be proud of it. And you can stop a lot of the bad talk right there.
I'm going to pass the mic to Ed while I think about my answer.
Boy, that didn't work out in my favor.
You watch out for Michelle just sneaking.
You know, I'll just keep talking. So let me ask you guys this question, just by a raise of hands. How many people here are dog breeders today? For those folks that obviously are listening to this, 95% of the people raise their hands. I'm going to ask you guys another question. If somebody asked you, and you were in Petco, if you were a dog breeder, would you tell them yes? Raise your hand.
Yep.
Good. That's important. Now let me ask you guys this. And this is an honest question here, so please be honest. How many of you guys feel like you struggle to place your puppies?
No.
Okay, that's okay. It's good. I want that answer. So two people raise your hand. Normally when I ask that question, the majority of people raise their hand on that. And it's good that you guys aren't struggling in it. The AKC Marketplace is a wonderful tool. If you haven't used it, you should. I, as I mentioned earlier, breed Amstaffs, my wife and I do, and you would think that that would be a tough breed to place, right? The reputation, weeding through the people. I have a 2.5-year waiting list for dogs. Yeah. Yeah. You don't breed pit bulls, though. Yeah. We don't struggle with that. And I like to share our story because for folks that maybe are struggling with it, we can probably work together and help you. I have a social media page. I don't hide from that. Our social media page has over 35,000 followers. I didn't do anything special, folks. I made a page to put Alpine Amstaffs. I rarely put show photos up, and I put photos of my dogs playing.
And I want you to continue on that thread because I think this is a really good topic and something that we don't do as good a job as we should. Ask them, how many people have a website?
I have a website as well, and I will tell you this. I think that websites are a thing of the past.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Exactly. Getting back to being proud of being what we do and not hiding from the fact that we breed dogs, it's very important to promote yourself, your breed. And in a lot of ways, folks, if I'm really frank and honest, I have some very strong opinions on this.
No.
Yeah. Oh, and some people like to agree with me and some don't, and that's fine. The fact of the matter is the reason that purebred dogs are struggling right now is because our community has allowed that to happen.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
We have allowed outside breeders that breed Labradoodles or this doodle or that doodle to become a fad because we fight every day to have 3, 4, 5 dogs. And I'm sure there's people in here that have more dogs at their house than they're supposed to. And that becomes, you go underground. You don't want people to know what you're doing. I respect that. I get that. But that doesn't mean on social media, just don't put your address. For example, I live in Spokane County, Washington.
Yeah.
That doesn't tell anybody anything, right? You can still promote your breed, your breeding program, and your kennel name, and market it, if you will, in a positive fashion. And I think we're losing the buck on that. The other fact of the matter is this, and this is where people think I'm controversial. We don't breed dogs enough.
This is the whole point of what Doug
we don't breed enough litters of purebred dogs. Yep. If you look at this and take your passion for your breed and your passion for all of your work, and I know it's difficult, remove it and understand this. The pet puppy market is a billion-dollar industry, guys. And I'm not implying to tell you guys to leave here and be puppy mills. That's not what I'm saying. But you need to think a little differently in the fact that this is a billion-dollar industry that's being manipulated by doodle breeders and rescues because we have went underground. And we don't talk about the reliability of owning a purebred dog. We don't talk about the importance and all the work in the lifetime that you've done in Dobermans. We don't share those stories. We have to, or simply in 20, 30 years, this ain't going to be here. And that's a fact.
I don't know that 20 isn't a gift.
And that's possible. So, again, I'll hand it over to you in a second. I told you to hand me the mic. I don't keep talking.
I'm headed for you, yeah. Ed. I'm coming for you.
You asked me to be here. I could be eating dinner and drinking a beer. Anyways, guys, really just think about that and understand. In my breed especially, and I'll end with this. When I started in this, there was 30 prominent breeders up and down the West Coast. There's 3 today. 3. So now think about this. How do the people who want an American Staffordshire Terrier get a pet? Do they go to the rescue? Most likely. You know, hopefully we can teach them a little bit about the reliability of a purebred dog. But those are my opinions on it. Go ahead.
Before you end, Ed,
speak loudly.
Not a problem. So I'm going to ask you, on the flip side, I breed foundation, absolute, working, hunting Spinoni.
Okay.
When I started, there were however many, maybe 20.
Okay.
Now we've got 60 of every ugly, non-confirmation sound dog. What do you do with that?
Repeat the question, Ed.
Yeah, so I understand your question. You breed a working Spinoni. And you're telling me you have...
For 12 years.
12 years. And your question is that of there's multiples of them that just don't represent the breed correctly? Am I understanding that right?
In my opinion.
In your opinion.
Well...
Okay.
And
So this is a national club issue and a judge's education issue, in my opinion. I'm answering in how I think is. But you don't breed dogs to ugly. You breed dogs to a goal and a standard. So how it affects you shouldn't matter. You go along breeding the dogs that, in your opinion, that best fit the standard that's written. It's not about winning ribbons at this point. It's about breeding the best dog that you can that best represents that standard the way you understand it. That's the beauty of our sport, guys. If I bred Dobermans and I'm standing next to one of the greatest Doberman breeders ever, I may not see the breed the same way. That doesn't mean she's right and I'm right or I'm wrong or vice versa. That's what the beauty of our sport is. And you have to understand that not everybody's going to agree on the simplest terms. And then just go about doing your own program, you'll probably see a little better.
One of the things that I spend a bit of my time on is, I think the most important element we're missing in the pet industry, that is education. So I chose a social media forum. We really need to hit social media. I picked a random kind of pet Doberman top social media page, and that they have tens of thousands of people on the page. But by and large, they're all pet people owning their little companion Doberman, and they're in need of education. So anytime I come across a very educational article, like on spay and neutering now, and the research that has been conducted that shows spaying and neutering
prop and doc
juvenile canines is deleterious to their health. It's not helpful to their health. It's in trying to change the perception and stigma that we've grown up with as a culture in America to spay and neuter everything because it causes overpopulation. Well, your dog has to tie something before it can be overpopulated. So the average Joe Blow isn't going to have their dog running loose. They don't really have to run to spay and neuter just because they think they have to, because our culture is trained to do that. I also hook up and get, the feed of Protect the Harvest, National Animal Interest Alliance, and the Calvary Group. And whenever they post something that I think is very educational on a broad topic, maybe even just animal ownership or the assault on agriculture, the assault on circuses, the assault on zoos, SeaWorld, we're all one. We're all fighting to own and keep and perhaps breed our own animals, even if it's an exotic cheetah or SeaWorld and the orcas. And so I always try to share, just pick one social media site that is probably not likely to get a broad spectrum of education, and share to that page. So I pick Doberman United, and I, whenever I get something educational, I always pop up and put it on there to spread to all the people who aren't in our circle. We're myopic. We can talk to ourselves all we want, but if we don't go out to the public, they don't hear us. They hear Petco. They hear Grain Free. They hear Spay and Neuter. They hear Adopt, Don't Shop. And that's got to stop.
Yes. Nailed it, Michelle. Got one, Fran.
I know. Ed mentioned something that triggered something.
Are you triggered?
Triggered. Part of the presentation Bill Shelton and Doug Johnson did, estimate the market for purebred dogs, or dogs, period, as 8 million a year. 8 million. AKC, at their peak back in the early 90s, hit 1.5 million dogs registered per year. Yep. There's a vast market for dogs out there, and it's being filled by all the doodle breeders, the whatevers.
The Chinese imports,
which, don't even get me started there. But so we have plenty of people wanting dogs. It's how we reach them and how we talk to them. And just what Michelle was talking about, reach out to the pet people. Don't be afraid of them.
You know, you'll piss somebody off and they'll write back nasty things, but ignore them. You know, you don't have to play their game. But you can educate them. And don't be condemning the commercial breeders all the time. We don't like it. None of us like it. Because that's not how we want to do it. But there is a market for purebred dogs that we can't begin to touch. And if we don't produce purebred dogs that are at least registered and identifiable, there won't be any.
So
reach out, folks. Don't be afraid. Reach out.
I agree.
I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it. Yeah, I know, I promised I was never going to sing again. But I'm saying, our new audiobook is available now. Whoop! Yeah! Pure Dog Talks, How to Stack Your Dog and Other Important Talks, is a 2-CD set featuring early mentoring episodes from the podcast, tips, and previously unrecorded pep talks. This is a power-packed opportunity for folks who don't want to search our exhaustive 260-some-odd episode library for just the topic they're looking for. This 2-hour series is a great resource for breeders and mentors, 4-H leaders, anybody that's looking for a straight line trajectory from what kind of dog should I get to raising a show dog, how to stack and move with your dog, to counting championship points for your new dog. Super easy to purchase. Just drop PayPal $25 a book to Laura at puredogtalk.com and make sure audiobook is in the comments and that your mailing address is included. Because shipping is free, that's on me, and I'll have it to you in just a few days. Breeder and mentor bundles are available. I'll give you a 10% discount on 5 or more, and this is a very limited print run, so get your order in today. May not be here tomorrow. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to Laura at puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.